الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. أما بعد، سورة آل عمران آية 146. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين. وعليكم السلام. And many a prophet fought in Allah's cause, and along with them fought large bands of religious learned men, but they never lost heart for that which did befall them in Allah's way, nor did they weaken nor degrade themselves. And Allah loves the patient. And they say nothing but, "Our Lord, forgive us our sins and transgressions. Forgive us our sins and transgressions. Establish our feet firmly and give us victory over the disbelieving folk." Then, so Allah gave them the reward of this world and the excellent reward of the hereafter. And Allah loves those who do good or those who excel in goodness. The Shaykh rahimahullah says in commenting on this ayah, or these ayat, ayah 146, هذه تسلية للمؤمنين وحث على الاقتداء بهم والفعل كفعلهم. This is means of calming down the believers and encouraging them to follow the ways of those before them and to do like they did. وَأَنَّ هَذَا أَمْرٌ قَدْ كَانَ مُتَقَدِّمًا لَمْ تَزَلْ سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ جَارِيَةً بِذَلِكَ. And that this is something that has been pre-decreed, and the way of Allah, the sunnah of Allah, has ever been in this fashion. فَقَالْ وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ نَبِيِّ أَيْ وَكَمْ مِنْ نَبِيِّ, meaning how many, how often a prophet or prophets قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّنَ كَثِيرٌ, those who fought with them were religious learned men. أي جماعات كثيرون من أتباعهم الذين قد ربتهم الأنبياء بالإيمان والأعمال الصالحة فأصابهم قتل وجراحا وغير ذلك, meaning a large group of followers who were raised and taken care of by the prophets themselves, who raised them upon iman and righteous deeds. And these people suffered in the way of Allah, as in terms of some of them dying and other ones getting injuries. And other than that, فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعَفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. They were not, they didn't become weak. They were not weakened concerning that which overtook them. مَا ضَعَفَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their hearts were not weakened. وَلَا وَهِنَتْ أَبْدَانُهُمْ, and their bodies were not weakened either. So the الْوَهِنْ is describing what? الْقَلْبِ. عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. الْوَهِنْ صفة هنا لماذا؟ للقلب. والضعف صفة للجسد. So now different terminologies or different terms are used to describe different parts of the body that became tired or weakened. وهن is used for the heart, and ضعف is used for the وهن is used for the body, I'm sorry, and ضعف is used for the heart. Weakness. Only they're almost synonymous in English, but مشي حالك. ولا استكانوا أي ذلوا لعدوهم, and they were not humiliated before their enemy. بل صبروا وثبتوا وشجعوا أنفسهم. ولهذا قال الله يحب الصابرين. But rather they remained patient and firm, and they encouraged one another, and this is why Allah عز وجل said, and verily Allah loves the patient. ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ قَوْلُهُمْ وَاسْتِنْصَارِهِمْ لِرَبِّهِمْ. Then Allah mentioned their statement and how they sought victory and aid from their Lord and Master. فَقَالَ وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُمْ أَيْ فِي تِلْكَ الْمَوَاطِنُ الصَّعْبَةِ. The only thing they said during these very difficult situations were إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. That they said, "Oh our Lord, forgive us our sins and our transgression in our affairs." والإسراف هو مجاوزة الحد إلى ما حرم. إسراف, and it comes in different contexts in the Quran. وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا. For example, إنه لا يحب المسرفين. مسرفين or إسراف is to go beyond the boundaries until you fall into prohibitions. يعني you will have something lawful and you continue to transgress against the lawful until you fall into the area of prohibitions. For example, this can be done in people eating. You know, some people eat and eat and eat and eat and it doesn't stop. And eating is an obligation. Eating is an obligation. Everyone must eat. If you don't eat, you will die. And killing yourself is haram. So those people who go on, you know, strike, they fast because they are imprisoned or because they want to get some rights, haram in Islam. So you have to eat. But if you overeat, so much so that you can't move anymore, or you pass out in your place, or you go beyond the third to a full stomach or even beyond that, and this is the person's natural habit until they get diseases and other things of this nature, then this is israf, this is transgression, and it's haram. There are limitations in everything we do, even our eating habits. Very often people turn it into competition. You know, when brothers sitting around, who can eat the most? And a brother will be proud. I eat two chickens. I can eat this whole thing. No, Habibi. This is nothing to be proud of. This is nothing to be proud of. The sunnah is that you eat one third for food of your stomach. One third, one third. And the second third is for some drink, water. You may have something else. And the last one is air, which tells you that you're still breathing when you're done eating. If you can't breathe anymore, meaning you didn't leave a third for air, let alone for anything else. So this is israf. Allah says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but don't become extravagant. Don't go overboard. And the cost of food, you know, like some of us, maybe, you know, his salary is يعني مشي حالك. And he goes to Pizza Hut to get a 60 riyal pizza. Isha, 60 riyal for pizza? What's in this pizza? Gold? I don't understand. 60 riyal, 65 riyal for, you see a brother eating by himself, and he barely, if you were a millionaire, this is suitable for you. If you had so much money, then 60 riyal pizza is according to your budget and your financial situation. But if one of us salary is 2,000 riyal, 3,000 riyal, and he's having 60 riyal pizza, this is extravagance in your case. Because down the street they sell it for 12 riyal or 15 riyal. This is the same thing. Cheese, green peppers, tomatoes, bread. But because it's Pizza Hut. And the same goes for many different things. People don't pay attention. This is extravagance. So israf is what then? Remember the word. We said we're going to increase our vocabulary. Israf is crossing the limit until you fall into prohibitions. You're not satisfied with the lawful. You continue to use the lawful until you fall into something haram. Israf. طبعا ألف سين رف. Yes, until you violate or until you fall into the prohibited zone. طيب علموا أن الذنوب والإسراف من أعظم أسباب الخذلان وأن التخلي منها من أسباب النصر فسألوا ربهم مغفرتها. They knew, these learned men, that transgression And sins are among the main reasons of humiliation, and that abandoning them, abandoning sins and transgression are means to acquire victory. So they ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive them their sins and their transgressions. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَتَّكِلُوا عَلَى مَا بَذَلُوا جُهْدَهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. Then they were not reliant on their own efforts and their own patience. بَلْ اَعْتَمَدُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ. Nay, but they depended on Allah. وَسَأَلُوهُ أَن يُثَبِّتَ أَقْدَامَهُمْ عِنْدَ مُلَاقَاتِ الْأَعْدَاءِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Then they asked Allah to keep their feet firm when they stand against their enemies, the disbelieving enemies. وَأَنْ يَنْصُرَهُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And they asked Allah to give them victory over them. فَجَمَعُوا بَيْنَ الصَّبْرِ وَتَرْكِ الضَّبَّةِ. So they brought a relation between patience and avoiding what opposes patience, like panicking and freaking out. وَالتَّوْبَةِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَالْإِسْتِصَارِ رَبِّهِمْ. And they sought Allah's repentance. They asked Allah's forgiveness and they sought Allah's aid and assistance. لا جرم أن الله نصرهم. There is no doubt that Allah Azza wa Jal granted them victory. وجعل لهم العاقبة في الدنيا والآخرة. And Allah gave them the good end in this life and in the life to come. فقال, so Allah said, ولهذا قال, فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا. So Allah gave them the reward of the dunya. من النصر والظفر والغنيمة. Of victory and the war booty. The whatever they get from the enemies. وحسن ثواب الآخرة وهو الفوز برضا ربهم والنعيم المقيم الذي قد سلم من جميع المنكدات. And the good reward of them. Now it's amazing. I don't know if the Sheikh mentioned that. Notice now the preciseness or the precision of the Quran in the chosen words. فأتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا. Pay attention to the words. وحسن ثواب الآخرة. فأتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا. And you would expect وثواب الآخرة أو ثواب الدنيا والآخرة. But no. فأتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة. When Allah spoke about the life to come, He added an adjective which was not mentioned when He spoke about the dunya. يعني Allah gave them a good reward in the dunya, but when He spoke about the hereafter, which is way more superior than the dunya, He added وحسن, the excellence, the best, the goodness of the reward of the life to come, showing you still the favoritism of the life to come over that the life of the dunya, because of this addition of حسن. والله أعلم. والله يحب. The Sheikh said, وما ذلك إلا أنهم أحسن له الأعمال فجزاهم بأحسن الجزاء. And the only reason why is they were excellent in their performance of deeds, so Allah Azza wa Jal gave them the reward which is proportional to their righteousness and goodness. فلهذا قال والله يحب المحسنين في عبادة الخالق ومعاملة الخلق. Allah loves those who do ihsan. Now who remembers, I hope you remember that is, we said ihsan is divided into two categories. Does anyone remember?
Ihsan, you worship
in Allah, like you receive in Him. But that's one category. The second category? No, that's still all one category. You're right. But there's, now this is your relationship with Allah. Is there ihsan with another entity? With the creation. Maybe this is from the Aqidah class, that's why. Ihsan in worshipping Allah and ihsan to the creation of Allah. There are two kinds of ihsan. Ihsan in worshipping Allah, what your brothers discussed. Ihsan in the creation of Allah is also يعني, treating people in a way that is pleasing to Allah. Being nice, kind, and so on and so forth. One in the worship of Allah and one in the treatment of the creation. Ihsan in the way you treat people. وَمِنَ الْإِحْسَانِ أَنْ يُفْعَلَ عَنْدَ زِيَادِ الْأَعْدَاءِ كَفِعْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Part of ihsan is that you do at the time of jihad against the enemies the same way these believers Allah described did. Yani, if you want to reach ihsan in your relationship with Allah, then at the time of confronting the enemy, we should also seek Allah's forgiveness, turn to Him in repentance, and asking to keep our keep us firm, to grant us patience, and so on and so forth. The same way the people with the prophets before did when they met their enemies. Because, excuse me, as we mentioned, jihad is not something that was introduced in the religion of Islam only. Prophets that preceded us with their followers fought in Allah's cause. And if any Christian doesn't believe you, let him read the Bible. Let him read the Bible and see all the narrations dealing with the children of Israel being asked to go and kill people and kill animals and kill everything, keeping virgin girls for themselves. If any Christian gets too philosophical with you, say, look, it's in your book. And you have graphical, explanation on warfare that you will never find in Islam or in the Quran. And you have atrocities that are performed and that are done in the Bible that you will never find in the Quran. Very violent in nature. And you look them up online, hundreds of verses in the Bible referring to warfare and killing and jihad. So no Muslim, no Christian can come and say, you Muslims this, you say, listen, this is in your religion too. And the Crusaders, what do you think they were doing? Who do you think the Crusaders are? These were militant Christian people that killed Muslims in all kinds of lands, including the Philippines. So they just make claims when we don't know. When we know, they can no longer make claims. You know, you can rub it in their face, as they say. That's right. طيب. ثم قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تطيعوا الذين كفروا يردوكم على أعقابكم فتنقلبوا خاسرين بل الله مولاكم وهو خير الناصرين سنلقي في قلوب الذين كفروا الرعب بما أشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا ومأواهم النار وبئس مثوى الظالمين. The next ayat say, all you who believe, or all you who have believed, if you obey those who disbelieve, they will send you back on your heels. Excuse me. They will send you back on your heels and you will turn back as losers. Nay, Allah is your Lord, helper, protector, excuse me, and He is the best of helpers. We should cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve because they joined others in worship with Allah for which He had sent no authority. Their abode will be the fire, and how evil is the abode of the wrongdoers and the oppressors and the polytheists. Beautiful. Now the Shaykh said, وَهَذَا نَهْيٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَن يُطِيعُوا الْكَافِرِينَ مِنَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is Allah prohibiting or forbidding the believers that they shall obey the disbelievers among the hypocrites and the polytheists. فَإِنَّهُمْ إِذَا أَطَاعُوهُمْ لَمْ يُرِيدُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا الشَّرِّ. Because verily, if they obey them, they want nothing for the believers but evil. They want nothing but evil. Whether the hypocrites among the Muslims or the kuffar. And a classical example of hypocrites today are the wicked Shia. The wicked, filthy Shia. Among the biggest hypocrites in Islam today, in which we have no doubt about their hypocrisy, are the Shia, who over and over again, as history proves, fought with the kuffar against the people of Sunnah. They've always been treacherous. They've always been wicked. The Shia, who claim that they speak on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household, whom they claim they love, and one of them comes on TV in Britain and he curses Aisha radiallahu anha, and he says that she's in the fire, and he's going to prove to the crowd that she's in the fire, and he speaks ill about her, then he curses the Sahaba. It's unbelievable people, man. Can you imagine someone cursing the wife of the Prophet ﷺ whom he loved? Whom Allah revealed Quran concerning her innocence from above the seven heavens? I mean, you ask the Jews, who were the best who do you consider to be the best followers of Moses? They will say Moses' disciples. And you ask the Christians, who do you think they were the best followers of Jesus? They will say Jesus' disciples. You ask the Shia, who are the worst? They will say the companions of the Messenger of Allah. Who are the worst? They claim all of them left Islam. Except six. All of them. Apostate, died in the state of kufr and nifaq, except six of them. Umar is a kafir to them, Abu Bakr is a kafir to them, Uthman is a kafir to them, Aisha is a kafir, Hafsa, you name it. This is a religion. Big beards, big turbans.
Who is the six?
Big robes. Don't know. Don't remember, huh? What? No, more. No, those, the six only did not leave Islam. Ali is one of them, and some of the family of the Prophet ﷺ, some of his relatives. Everybody else to them became an apostate. That's the Shia. That people don't know about this. And they don't tell you about this anyways, because they have a methodology known as taqiyya. Protection. Veil. In front of the people of Sunnah, when confronted, they love everyone. When they are behind closed doors on their own, then all the nonsense comes out. So many people are fooled by them. Don't be fooled by these wicked hypocrites. Allah will deal with them on the Day of Judgment. ثُمَّ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ مَوْلَاهُمْ وَنَصِرَهُمْ فَفِيهِ إِخْبَارٌ لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ وَبِشَارَةٌ بِأَنَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ يَتَوَلَّى أُمُورَهُمْ بِلُطْفِهِ وَيَعْصِمَهُمْ مِنْ أَنْوَاعِ الشُّرُورِ وفي ضمن ذلك الحث لهم على اتخاذه وحده وليا وناصرا بدون كل احد. In this ayah further, when Allah told them that He is their protector and helper, this is means of glad tidings for them. And Allah giving them the news that He shall grant them victory and that He will take arrange their affairs through His mercy and grace, and He will protect them from all kinds of evil. And included in that, the indication that Muslims should take Allah only as their helper and their protector without anyone else. We don't depend on weaponry, and we don't depend on numbers, and we don't depend on anything. That even that these are necessary preparations, the ultimate grantor of victory is Allah. This is why in the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims felt that they were superior, and in other battles they felt that they were larger in numbers, stronger in weaponry, they lost. And during the Battle of Badr, when they were 314 against 1,000 of the Kuffar, and they had no weaponry, barely any horses, and the Kuffar were full-fledged, the Muslims were given victory. It's Allah who grants victory. So we don't get attached to the asbab. We get attached to the musabbib al-asbab. فَمِنْ وِلَايَتِهِ وَنَصْرِهِ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ وَعَدَهُمْ أَنَّهُ سَيُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ أَعْدَائِهِمْ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ الرُّعْبِ. Now among the part of Allah's protection which He grants to the believers is that He promised them that He will cast in the hearts of the disbelievers terror. What is He going to cast?
Terror.
Does that remind you of something?
Yes.
So,
man.
No, not man. No, that's not sound. That reminds you of the word terrorists and terrorizing, which we've said many times before. It has a linguistic definition and it has a world legal definition. Linguistically, when you fight against the disbelievers, are you not supposed to terrorize them? You're going to come and, you know, play games with them, pat them on their back, hey, we're about to get in war, are you okay today? Would you like a croissant? No. You're going to scare the heck out of them. This is warfare, right? This is warfare. Now that tells many, and why am I saying this? Because many ignorant people, they say, oh yeah, you claim your religion is not, doesn't support terrorism, and they quote this ayah. Another ayah, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ أَنْ يَتُرْهِبُونَ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. Prepare whatever you can of weaponry and of power so you may terrorize the enemies of Allah. So some of the kuffar say, look, in your Quran there is reference for terrorism against the disbelievers. believers. And you claim that your religion is not that of terrorism. This is where we have to be aware of the technicalities. Say, look, if the context is war, if we are on a battlefield, you best believe that we're supposed to terrorize you. No doubt, Allah commanded us to do so. But the definition of terrorism today, usually, is not people fighting in the battlefield. It is you going to some, you know, country, car, plane, building, where people are minding their own business, and you terrorize them. You cause havoc for them. You cause terror and pain and, you know, casualties to innocent people. Then we both agree, if this is what you mean by the definition of terrorism, then this is not allowed in Islam either, and no, we are not terrorists in that sense. You see the difference? So in case someone brings the shubha to you, you should be able to deal with it. Otherwise, on the battlefield, there's no playing games. And there's no scratching each other's backs. It's time for business. And when you scare the enemy, you are given victory. If you're scared, you will be defeated. Since even boxers, you know, boxers, before you see them, if he comes into the ring and he's scared, he gets knocked out from round one. But if he's upset, you know, he may just, you know, take him. I've seen, you know, boxing matches before. I know it's haram, by the way, because hitting on the face is not allowed in Islam. Hitting someone on the face, regardless, Muslim or non-Muslim. You know, back in the day, the match would last, you know, 20 seconds. As soon as they come in, and the guy is done. Knockout. Say shahada. How many, you know, this guy's been training for 2 years maybe, but he's scared. He's scared, he wasn't able to handle business. And maybe you've, you know, been in fights when you were younger with a bigger guy in school, and you know when you were scared what happened to you? You got whooped. So the element of fear affects the performance.
Nah.
Terrorizing the enemies on the battlefield, barakallah fi, is supposed to do it. But to catch him, you know, on the side while they're not engaged in war with you, or you have the soldiers engaged in war and the citizens are sitting at home drinking coffee, you don't go to someone's house and blow up the house, say, because your soldiers are over there. What does he have to do with them? Maybe he doesn't agree with them. Maybe he's against them. Maybe he's an activist against the government. Many of the people that may be killed innocently may be against the government who's killing innocent people. This is something known. There may be Muslims among the casualties. What are you going to do in front of Allah when you kill the Muslim who happened to be on a plane or who happened to be in the Twin Towers? What are you going to do? You have no right. They have no right to do it in this fashion. Allah musta'an, ala kulli hal. So that's the irhab which they're worried about. طيب وهو الخوف العظيم الذي يمنعه من كثير من مقصدهم. Then terrorism is this tremendous fear which prevents you from acquiring your objectives. وقد فعل تعالى. And Allah had done so. وذلك أن المشركين بعدما انصرفوا من وقعة أحد تشاوروا بينهم. How did that happen? The disbelievers after the battle of Uhud, they consulted one another. They had some mutual consultations.
وقالوا كيف ننصرف بعد أن قتلنا منهم من قتلنا وهزمناهم ولما نستأصلهم.
They said to themselves, how are we going to leave after we killed so many among the Muslims and after we defeated them, but we did not eradicate them. Yani we did not totally eradicate them.
فهموا بذلك فألقى الله الرعب في قلوبهم فانصرفوا خائفين.
So they were on the verge of going back to eliminate and eradicate the Muslims. Allah cast in their hearts terror, so they became scared and they went on their own way, disappointed. Allah did not give them the ability to fulfill that wish of theirs.
ولا شك أن هذا من أعظم النصر.
No doubt this is a victory that Allah gave the believers, that the disbelievers did not come back and cause further damage.
لأنه قد تقدم أن نصر الله لعباد المؤمنين لا يخرج عن أحد أمرين.
Why? Allah granting victory to the believers is in one of two ways. No third to them.
إما أن يقطع طرفا ممن كفروا أو يكبتهم فينقلبوا خائبين.
Either Allah will eradicate the disbelievers or He will prevent them from acquiring their goals so they are disappointed. They don't get to defeat the Muslims.
وهذا من الثاني. This is an example of the second kind. ثم ذكر السبب الموجب لإلقاء الرعب في قلوب الكافرين.
That Allah mentioned why The reason behind Allah casting or Allah casting doubt in fear into the hearts of the believers, bima ashraku billahi ma lam yunazzil bi sultana. The reason why Allah did that to them is because they ascribed and associated partners with Allah with whom or for whom He did not send down any authority. They worshipped others with Allah whom Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't send any authority concerning, and Allah never sent any authority regarding anyone to be worshipped with Him.
أي ذلك بسبب ما اتخذوا بدونه من الأنداد والأصنام التي اتخذوها على حسب أهوائهم وإراداتهم الفاسدة من غير حجة ولا برهان.
And this is because of the rivals and the statues which they took according to their desires and their evil wills without any proof or evidence.
وانقطعوا من ولاية الواحد الرحمن.
So they deprived themselves of the protection and the aid of the one, the most merciful, the unique, the most merciful.
ثم فمن ثم كان المشرك مرعوبا من المؤمنين لا يعتمد على ركن وثيق.
Because of that, the mushrik is always afraid of the believer because he doesn't have a strong entity to rely on. He doesn't have any sound foundation to rely on.
وليس له ملجا عند كل شدة وضيق.
And he doesn't have anyone to refer to at the time of difficulty and complications.
هذه حاله في الدنيا.
This is his affair in this life, worldly life.
وأما في الآخرة فأشد وأعظم.
And in the life to come, his matter would be more severe and even greater in terms of not finding anyone to help him and protect him on يوم القيامة.
ولهذا قال subsequently Allah said ومأواهم النار,
their final abode will be the hellfire.
أي مستقرهم الذين يأوون إليه وليس لهم عنا خروج.
Meaning this will be the residence in which they or to which they reside and they will not have any means of leaving it.
وبئس مثوى الظالمين.
And what a terrible abode is the abode of the polytheists and the wrongdoers.
بسبب ظلمهم وعدوانهم.
This is all because of their oppression and because of their transgression.
صارت النار مثواهم.
The hellfire became their final abode.
ولقد صدقكم الله وعده إذ تحسونهم بإذنه حتى إذا فشلتم وتنازعتم في الأمر وعصيتم من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة ثم صرفكم عنهم ليبتليكم ولقد عفى عنكم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين.
In continuation, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and Allah did indeed fulfill His promise to you when you were killing them, meaning your enemy, with this permission, until the moment you lost your courage and fell to disputing about the order and disobeyed after He showed you of the booty which you love. Among you are some that desire this world and some that desire the hereafter. Then He made you flee from them, meaning your enemy, that He might test you. But surely He forgave you, and Allah is most gracious to the believers.
The Shaykh said, أي وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَ بِالنَّصْرِ فَنَصَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى وَلُّوكُمْ أَكْتَافَهُمْ.
Now Allah fulfilled this promise in terms of giving you victory, so that you were victorious over them until they turned away, they turned their shoulders away.
وَتَفِقْتُمْ فِيهِمْ قَتْلًا حَتَّى صُرْتُمْ سَبَبًا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَعَوْنًا لِأَعْدَائِكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ.
And you were killing them until you became a reason for yourselves and aid for your enemies over you.
فَلَمَّا حَصَلَ مِنْكُمُ الْفَشَلُ وَهُوَ الضَّعْفُ وَالْقُرْ.
Now when they reach a level of weakness,
وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ,
and you disputed regarding the order,
الَّذِي فِيهِ تُرِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ بِالْإِتِلَافِ وَعَدَمِ الْإِخْتِلَافِ فَاخْتَلَفْتُمْ.
Now Allah commanded them not to dispute, not to differ, but to be all in agreement about one thing. But they differed.
فَمَنْ قَالَ فَمِنْ قَائِلٍ نُقِيمُ فِي مَرْكَزِنَا الَّذِي جَعَلَنَا فِيهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
What happened was, the Prophet ﷺ had placed some of the Ummah, some of those who the he used the arrows, the bow and arrow, the archers. He placed them on a mountain, and he told them, "Do not move. Do not move." So now the believers were moving up forward, fighting enemies, and khalas. It was almost the battle was almost decided that the Muslims were victorious, and the war booty was within the sight of the brothers on the mountain. At that time, they disputed. Some of them said, "Khalas, it's over. Let's go down." And the others said, "We will not disobey the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." When they left Khalid ibn Walid, before he embraced Islam, he was a very intelligent man in warfare, and he was known. When he seen that that strategic location has been emptied, he took it. He came from the back, took that location, and the war turned upside down. The whole thing changed, and now they were given some advantage over the believers, and that what happened is considered a form of a loss to the believers, even though they gained many lessons in the process. But in terms of warfare, that was a loss because of what? Because they disobeyed the command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمِنْ قَائِلْ مَا مَقَامُنَا فِيهُ وَقَدْ انْهَزَمَ الْعَدُوَ لَمْ يَبْقَ مَحْدُورٌ. Some of them said, "We will remain in the position that were positioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And others said, "What is the point of staying here now that they have lost the war, and there's no harm, there's no benefit in staying in our place?" فَعَصَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولُ وَتَرَكْتُمْ أَمْرَهُ. So you disobeyed the messenger and you abandoned his command. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ اللَّهُ مَا تُحِبُّونَ. After Allah showed you what you love, which is the war booty. وَهُوَ انْخِذَالُ أَعْدَائِكُمْ. And it is also the defeat of your enemies. لِأَنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. What the Shaykh said, it's only the defeat of your enemy. لِأَنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَا أَعْظَمَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. The obligation on the one whom Allah bestows favors upon is greater than others. SubhanAllah. يعني when Allah gives you something, a special favor, and you know Allah blessed you in something in your life, the obligation of thankfulness from you is greater than one who hasn't been given the same gift. Right or wrong? If Allah blesses you with something particular to you, a righteous wife, good children, good job, Islamic knowledge, whatever, the requirement to thank Allah is greater than someone who doesn't have these blessings, which Allah gave one of us. So this was the one discussion. فالواجب في هذا الحق خصوصا وبغير عموما امتثال امر الله ورسوله. The expectation during that time in particular, and generally speaking, is obeying Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. منكم من يريد الدنيا وهم الذين اوجب لهم ذلك ما اوجب. Among you are those who love the dunya, and this is what necessitated what happened. ومنكم من يريد الآخرة وهم الذين لزموا أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وثبتوا حيث أمروا. And amongst you are those who desire the life to come. These are the ones who remain firm where the Prophet ﷺ positioned them initially. They did not move, because he told them, "Do not move from this mountain until the command comes to you." طيب. Either way. ثم صرفكم عنهم. أي بعدما وجدت هذه الأمور منكم صرف الله وجوهكم عنهم فصار الرجل عدوكم ابتلاء من الله لكم امتحانا. After you did this, Allah Azza wa Jal turned your faces away from them, and he turned the victory gauge from that of the believers to that of the disbelievers. So this became a calamity and a test from Allah. It was a trial from Allah. ليتبين المؤمن من الكافر والطائع من العاصي. So that a distinction will be made between the believer versus the disbeliever, and the obedient versus the disobedient. وليكفر الله عنكم بهذه المصيبة ما صدر منكم. Now this is the beautiful part. And so that Allah may expiate through this calamity the disobedience you have. يعني if Allah will, He would have never punished them in the dunya, but Allah would have kept this for the day of judgment. But the immediate response for their disobedience was the calamity that befell them. And that calamity was means for that disobedience to be wiped out. You get it? the disobedience. So they're no longer responsible for that.
وَلَقَدْ عَفَ عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
And Allah has forgiven you and pardoned you. And Allah is the owner, the possessor of the great bounty over the believers.
أي ذو فضل عظيم عليهم.
Allah possesses great bounty over the believers. حيث من عليهم بالإسلام. That Allah guides them to Islam.
وهداهم لشرائعه.
Then He guided them to the legal teachings of Islam.
وعفى عن سيئاتهم.
Allah pardoned their sins.
وعذابهم على مصيباتهم.
And He rewarded them for their calamities. For the calamities that befell them. Allah made the means of sins to be forgiven. And reward to be increased.
ومن فضل على المؤمنين ألا يقدر عليهم خيرا ولا مصيبة إلا كان خيرا لهم.
And among Allah's special bounties over the believers is that He does not decree anything, whether it is good or even a calamity, except that there is goodness in it at the end of the day for the believers. يعني even the calamity outwardly, still at the end of the day there is goodness in it for the believers. This is a special bounty from Allah. يعني even when a calamity strikes, it's good for you.
سبحان الله العظيم.
إن أصابتهم سراء شكروا فشكروا. If something good happens to them, they're thankful to Allah.
جزاهم جزاء الشاكرين.
Then Allah will reward them the reward of those who are grateful.
وإن أصابتهم ضراء فصبروا.
And if a calamity befalls them, they are patient.
جزاهم جزاء الصابرين.
Allah will reward them the reward of those who are patient. So alhamdulillah, who had made يعني his bounties and mercy vast and abundant upon the believers, that no matter what befalls us, whether it is something that is desirable and we like, or even a calamity which appears to be harmful, at the end of the day it's good for the believer, if we are patient, that is. So with that, inshallah, we will conclude. We have stopped at ayah 152. And بإذن الله عز وجل, we will deal next week with ayat 153 and 154. And we will see some more about the test that the believers had to go through at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.